May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our New Testament reading today is from Romans chapter 8. And Romans chapter 8 is probably the most sweeping and deep and profound and lovely and wonderful and nourishing chapter in what is likely the most deep and profound and stirring and nourishing book in all the scriptures. That is the letter to the Romans. Martin Luther, in his commentary on Romans in the introduction, said that Romans is the chiefest part of the New Testament and ought to be read by all, should be memorized, and one cannot read it too often or drink of it too deeply. So that's your homework. Go and memorize Romans and come back next week and we'll talk. I'm just kidding. Not really. I mean, go and memorize it, but you don't have to do that this week. And so in chapter 8 of Romans, Paul is now speaking about life in the Spirit. In the passage that we read today, he makes a contrast between the nature of the flesh, that is our sinful nature, and the nature of life in the Spirit. And he says that the one, the nature of sin and the flesh, leads to death and stands in opposition to God. It does not desire the things of God, nor can it. But on the other hand, there is the life of the Spirit, which is life indeed and peace. Now, we've been talking the last few weeks about the Holy Spirit. We began at Pentecost and talked about who the Holy Spirit is, and the image that I wanted to give to you for getting a bead on the nature of the Holy Spirit is that the Lord, the giver of life, is like the breath of God that goes forth and enacts and does and fulfills the things that God promised in Christ, right? That's who the Holy Spirit is. The next question is, well, what does the Holy Spirit do? And last week, I spent a little bit of time talking about two of the key things that the Holy Spirit does, which Jesus tells us in John chapter 16, which is one, that he will convict us of our sinfulness so that we might see our need for a Savior. And secondly, that he will lead us into all truth. That he, the Spirit, will teach us, remind us of the things of God, the things that Jesus said and promised, and open to us the deep and wonderful waters of the Holy Scriptures. In fact, I loved our opening hymn this morning. Did you catch what we were singing? We were talking about what it is we do on Sunday. On the Lord's Day, this day of glory, this day of light, where we what? We read the Scriptures and the power of the Spirit, and the bread and the wine show to us through the power of the Spirit the presence of Christ. Right? So, what we're going to do today is continue in our examination of what is it that the Holy Spirit does. And today and next week, I want to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. This is the tough part, I think. What's he going to talk about? Are we all going to be jumping around and doing crazy stuff? Well, maybe. But now, what we're going to do, I want to say a little bit about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you want to read a little bit more about them, Paul talks about them at length in 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14. But for today, I want to say, who are the gifts of the Spirit for? What exactly is a gift of the Spirit? And what are they supposed to do? That's what we're going to look at this morning. So first, who is supposed to get the gifts of the Spirit? I'll give you a hint. It's not just the clergy. And I say that sort of half-jokingly, because I think that when we talk about the giftedness and the blessing, the things that the Holy Spirit does, I think there's this sort of subtle, maybe subconscious, unspoken idea in the back of our minds that really that kind of stuff is for the minister. Now, maybe that's not the case, but I feel that it's something that needs to be addressed, because it's a great danger when when a body of Christians think that the gifts of the Spirit are only for a select few. The promise of the new covenant is that the Holy Spirit comes to all faithful believers, and that he gives gifts to all who trust in Christ. So the promise of the pouring out of the Spirit upon all flesh that Peter mentioned at Pentecost, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, is meant for all baptized faithful Christians, not just the ones that get to wear the fancy collars, although we have gifts too. But in other words, when we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I want each and every one of you to know that these are for all of us, not just for me or other clergy. Okay, so that's who they're for. Secondly, what exactly is a gift of the Holy Spirit? If it's something that God intends for all who are in Christ, what are they? Well, in the New Testament, Paul gives us some ideas. He lists out a couple of them. He says that when Christ arose, he gave gifts. And for some, he gave the gift of evangelism, of apostleship, of preaching, of teaching, of administration. That's in Ephesians chapter 4. In Corinthians 12, he says that they're the gifts of faith, of healing, of the working of miracles, of the gift of prophecy and of tongues and of great insight and understanding. That these are all things that God gives to his people. Now, maybe you've spent some time thinking about, like, well, gosh, I wonder, what if of any of those gifts do I see that God is maybe bringing forth? And how is a gift of the Spirit different from, say, a natural ability? Like, say, for example, someone, as we say, would have a God-given gift of athleticism. Say somebody's just a really good football player. That's just a natural ability that they have. They've always excelled at sports, and they go on to become a professional football player. And so from time to time, you see ball players who, after they say score a touchdown, will sometimes they'll bend a knee and say a prayer, or they'll point to heaven, whether they're pointing to God or to their sort of deceased relative or something. I don't know. But the point is that what you see is a recognition on the part of the player of an ability that they have, that they've worked hard. I mean, let's be honest, not everybody gets to score a touchdown in the National Football League. And so that's a gift, a natural ability that people have. Now, and everybody's got things that they're good at, right? But is scoring a touchdown in the National Football League what God has intended for his family? Now, I know for some folks, the scoring of a touchdown can be a religious experience, especially if it's your team in the Super Bowl. But this is going to lead me to my third point. To what end do the gifts of the Spirit serve? And we're told again and again that God gives gifts through his Spirit to his people for the building up of the body, for the building up, for the encouragement, for the development, for the nourishing, for the guidance, for the strengthening, for the protection, for the healing, for the renewal of his people. And as great and as cool and wonderful as scoring a touchdown is, I don't think that that's exactly what the scriptures tell us about the building up of the body. So whatever it is that the Lord, through his Spirit, gives to his people, it is for their edification as believers. Say, for example, if someone has a gift for teaching, and they're a great teacher, say they teach, I don't know, third grade math. What God, in his grace, may do is to also give that person the gift of opening up the scriptures to people in their church family and explaining to them the things that God has in his word for them so that they might understand and see and know and trust and be built up in church as a part of the body. So that is the definitive characteristic of a gift of the Spirit, that it's intended by God to be used by His family for the building up and strengthening of each other, for their mutual benefit. And so what I want to leave with you all this morning is a question. I would love for each and every one of us to spend a little bit of time this week asking the question, what gifts has God given to me? Specifically, the gifts that His Spirit has given to me. Spend some time thinking about that this week, because He has given them to you. Part of our growth and our discipleship in Christ is to begin to learn and discover what these are. And a room full of people and the power of the Spirit who are loving and building one another up like that, as they used to say in generations past, hot dog! So for our building up, for the glory of God, and for our edification, let's spend a little bit of time this week asking these questions. And if you have questions about those questions, talk to me. That's kind of my job. It's my passion, my calling, to see that what God has given to you bears fruit. And so that's called the gift of pastoring, right? It's good for a rector to have a gift of pastoring, I think. So that is your homework assignment, is to ask the question of the gift of the Spirit in my life.